This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You're a hitter and you're looking away. That's a tough pitch to do anything with.
McGuire out to right. Benson back. He did it again!
Are you kidding me?
It's the Reese McGuire game. First game with the Cubs. Two homers. Brand new ball game. We're tied at 8.
We're back, live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you until 12:45, taking you right up to first pitch between the, well, not to first pitch, to pregame between the Cubs and the Rockies. First pitch is at 1:20 right here on your home for Cubs baseball, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And if you're not listening to it here, you're probably watching it on the Marquee Sports Network, which you just heard the highlight from Alex Cohen, Cubs play-by-play announcer, and my guest who joins me now on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today. Alex, how are you this afternoon, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm just living through that last call from Reese McGuire, and that was outrageous. Yeah, the game was outrageous. The series was outrageous. The road trip was a lot of fun. 4-2 road trip against the Marlins in Cincinnati, now back at Wrigley Field today, so life is good.
This is a tough question because there have been a lot of surprising moments for the Cubs this year, just surprises if you're talking big picture. Where does Reese McGuire hitting two home runs, including one to tie it up after you were down 8-2 in the eighth inning in Cincinnati, where does that rank in the most surprising moments of Cubs baseball this year?
in his Cubs debut as well, I think number one. I think that's number one for me, a guy who was in Columbus, Ohio, less than 12 hours before, you know, getting called up to the Cubs and being a late addition to the lineup with Carson Kelly being sick and out of the lineup and then hitting not one but two home runs, the second one being a game-tying home run. Yeah, I think that's number one for me.
There just seems to be, and it's the complete opposite of last year, there seems to be something, I don't know, magical, if there was some fairy dust sprinkled on the Cubs catcher position. And no matter who's back there, they're getting production. One of our listeners texted in during the last segment, 15 home runs and 50 RBIs from that position so far this year, Alex. That is not something that we saw coming from the catcher position for the Cubs this year.
Yeah, that's essentially the offensive production of Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch. And, it was sad to watch Miguel Amaya go down with an oblique injury. He was having a great year. And, hopefully that's something that he'll get back from quickly. And Carson Kelly, it's been the spring of Carson Kelly with 9 home runs. He had another one in Cincinnati. And then, Reese McGuire comes up, a guy who's played, 100 big league games over the last 2 years with the Red Sox. First game, first swing, home run down the right field line, then a game-tying homer. So maybe it's the position of luck. Maybe it's just the entire offense. Maybe it's the Pete Crow Armstrong effect. Maybe it's, Dustin Kelly and John Bailey working with the guys as the hitting coaches. Whatever is going on right now, keep on doing it because they're the best offensive team in baseball.
Were you surprised it was Reese McGuire and not Ballesteros that got called up? And I know he's had limited time behind the plate, and he's mostly in the system and working his way through the system for his bat. But I think when a lot of Cubs fans saw Miguel Amaya go down, they're like, oh, okay, another chance to get a look at Ballesteros.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you could look at it at both sides. I think with the Cubs having, you know, not an off day this Monday, they have an off day on Thursday. And then you have Carson Kelly, who hasn't been an everyday catcher for quite some time. They wanted somebody who they thought was viable behind the dish for a prolonged period of time to back him up, whether that is one game, two games, three games. And I think with Moises Ballesteros catching-wise, you want to get him more games behind the dish to get him more comfortable. So when Ballesteros, if he were to come up here, he was not catching four out of every 6 days that would go to Carson Kelly. So I think that's the best for Moises right now is to be in AAA, to catch every day. Those AAA series have six games in a row, and they have the off day on Monday. So you'll look at Moises Ballesteros, just got back to join the team in Columbus. I would imagine he catches four out of every six games there. So I think it's most important for Moises and his growth being a 21-year-old catcher to get that experience behind the plate. And even with Miguel Amaya being hurt, he just wasn't going to get that with the Cubs right now with Carson Kelly playing the way that he is.
Talking with Alex Cohen, Cubs play-by-play announcer for the Marquee Sports Network. I think the guy who most Cubs conversations start with these days is Pete Crow Armstrong and doing what he's doing in every phase of the game. His defense, his speed on the bases. But the most surprising thing has been the power that he's brought to the plate this year. You, Alex, you were the Cubs' AAA announcer for some time before getting called mm-hmm. up yourself last year by the Marquee Sports Network. So you've seen as much of PCA and his road to the majors as almost anyone. Everybody's saying they're surprised by this power. Even Jed Hoyer and Craig Counselor are saying they're surprised by the power that he's shown. How surprised have you been by the pop in that bat?
Yeah, I agree with Jed and Craig. I mean, I'm very impressed and surprised at what he's been able to do with this amount of time in the season. That being said, if you look at his minor league numbers, I mean, he was a 20-plus home run hitter in the minor leagues. But that's a Double-A and Triple-A. This is the big leagues. And, you know, being a 23-year-old defense-first center fielder with a frame that is still growing, I was not expecting him to near 20 home runs by June. And that's the pace that he's on right now. He's on a 40-home run pace. Do I think he'll get there? Probably not. But he's a guy that at the beginning of the season, you said, hey, if he can hit 20 home runs, if he can steal 40 bases, hit 20 doubles and have seven triples, that's a 740, 750 OPS. He'll be a 5-6 WAR player. He'll be an all-star. Now he's doubling those numbers right now. So I'm definitely surprised. I'm very impressed. But he's got all the talent in the world. He works really hard. He's a legitimate five-tool player, and he's showing it right now.
Is it crazy to say he's a legitimate MVP candidate with what he's done to this point in the season, Alex?
You know, he's always had the talent to do that, but is it crazy that at 23 years old and it is, first real full season, opening the season with the Chicago Cubs on the big league roster and then following through until game 162? Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, remember last year when he joined the team, he broke the team with AAA and he got option and he wasn't with the team full time until May 15th. And now doing this in his first full season, especially when he struggled out of the gate in Japan, and seeing what he's doing right now as the NL frontrunner for MVP, I mean, obviously, Shohei Ohtani's doing a tremendous job with the Dodgers, but he's only playing on one side of it. He's the DH. I mean, PCA is the best defensive center fielder in baseball, and he's doing this offensively. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Talking with Alex Cohen, Cubs play-by-play announcer for the Marquee Sports Network here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. Another guy who you saw sort of his road to the majors and now getting a chance up at the major league level is Matt Shaw, who obviously he got off to a rough start, gets sent back down, and since coming back up, I think it's five doubles or six doubles and seems to have his legs under him at the plate a little bit. What's the difference that you've seen from his first stint to his second stint here in 2025 with the Cubs?
I think it's just timing, and I think that especially early on in the season, it was a race to Japan. Remember in spring training, he had the oblique injury. Then he goes out there, and it's kind of just, you know, survival mode. You know, make sure you don't end up on, you know, SportsCenter not top 10, you know, either defensively or offensively, and that'll wear at you when you're making your, you know, big league debut and you're the number one prospect. And I mean, he said it to the media when he was down in Miami after he rejoined the team. I needed that reset. You know, the coaches said, like, hey, you need to do this. You need to be down there for X amount of time. And he said, at that time, you know, maybe I didn't agree, but now I look at it right now and I totally agree. Like, I needed to take a deep breath. I needed to reset some things. And it's not a complete shift from what he was doing. I mean, essentially with the leg kick, it's his two-strike approach leg kick that he had last year. So there is some familiarity, but I think it's just timing for Matt Shaw. It was his ability to go down to Iowa and take a deep breath and really work on some things. And then just getting support from his teammates. You know, talked to Ian Happ about it, said that, yeah, hey, I was optioned in 2019 for not 3 weeks, but for 3 months. Like, yeah. I remember that. So he was, you know, sending, you know, texts of encouragement to Matt Shaw. I know that Matt got texts from a bunch of, you know, different players as well with, you know, Nico Horner and Dansby Swanson. And you have a veteran team that's really supportive to Matt. And Ian Happ even said it. The Chicago Cubs are at their best when Matt Shaw is on this team. So to have that support from a guy who is, what, 3-time Gold Glover, All-Star, one of the longest tenure Cubs, that's a big deal.
I think when a guy has a unique batting stance and a unique swing, like you were talking about with Matt Shaw and the big step, and then he struggles and gets off to the start that he did, I think a lot of people will immediately point at that and go, oh, that's something they need to change or they need to fix. I don't get the sense that the Cubs feel like they need to change a whole lot about Matt Shaw. Like you just talked about his two-strike approach, little things like that within his approach to an at-bat, I think are things they got to work on him with, but I don't get the sense that they feel like they have to change the way that this guy does what he's done his whole life, essentially.
No, it's not a change. It's a modification. Like, you're not completely changing a guy who got drafted in the first round 2 years ago, was the best player in the Cape, was the best player in the Big Ten, was the Double-A MVP, was one of the best players in the Arizona Fall League, and one of the best offensive players in minor league baseball last year. You don't full gross like, hey, we need to change everything. It's just a modification, and it's something that he's trying to learn, you know, kind of trial by fire. You go up to the big leagues, spend the first month there, it doesn't work out. You go to AAA for a month, you try to figure it out. You see the last 10 days at AAA were really, really good, and then you come back up here and you hit 5 doubles in 6 games. So it might regress. It might not be a linear progression, but it's something that you look at Matt Shaw offensively, the timing looks a lot better, and the defense looks a lot better. So I think that stint with Iowa was really, really helpful for him, and I think that he makes this team better the way that he's playing right now.
How real do you think the Kyle Tucker effect is when you look at the production of this offense top to bottom?
If anything over 100%, 110%, 200%, I mean, you can't really even quantify it. I mean, I said it on the broadcast. I mean, Kyle Tucker hitting second in that lineup, it makes Dansby Swanson better. It gets Pete Crow Armstrong seeing more pitches. It helps Nico Horner move down in the order to get more fastballs. I mean, Nico's been one of the most productive hitters in baseball with runners in scoring position. You know why he's been doing that? Because Kyle Tucker's in scoring position.
Yeah.
So Kyle Tucker's drawing more walks than strikeouts. Kyle Tucker has over a 900 OPS. Kyle Tucker has 26 extra base hits. So that's a big reason why Nico's able to do what he's able to do. And I really think that hitting Tucker second makes every hitter below him in that order better.
Talking with Alex Cohen, Cubs play-by-play announcer for the Marquee Sports Network here for just a couple more minutes. I started off the show, and not being a pessimist or a glass-half-empty type of guy, but there are things about this Cubs season where I go, well, how long can they keep that up when you look at some of the guys doing some of the things that they're doing? And I'll start with one of those questions is in the bullpen, which has really steadied itself. Over the last week and a half, an ERA under 2, but you've had Presley go down. You had Hodge go down with an injury. You had Merriweather blow up in their face, a guy who I think they expected to be like a high-leverage innings type of reliever for them. How long can they sustain this sort of revolving door that they've had in the bullpen, both due to injury and guys just sort of not living up to expectations?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question because you've had guys who have not lived up to expectations, but you've also had guys who surpassed expectations.
Sure.
Like, I think the Brad Keller thing is real. You look at his stuff, I mean, it is back end of the bullpen stuff. He has been one of the better relievers in the NL Central all year long. So I think Brad Keller is one guy who really stabilizes that bullpen because he also has the ability to go multiple innings. He showed his ability to be an opener against New York in New York. I think Daniel Palencia has always had this ability. You know, a guy who throws 100, 101, 102 miles per hour with a really good split and a slider. It's just confidence in throwing strikes. Well, he's gotten confidence and he's throwing strikes. So the ability was always there with Palencia. I think Keller's been great. I think you get Porter Hodge back and healthy. And Porter, you look at his stats like, oh, he hasn't had a great year. He's had 3 bad outings. The rest of his outings have been good to dominant. So you get Porter back, and if you get, what, 75% of Porter Hodge from last year, you got 3 legitimate relievers right there. Caleb Thielbar has been good as well. Ryan Presley, for the most part, has been pretty good. He had that one blow-up outing during the homestand.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that he might not be pitching in the ninth inning this year, but he might be pitching in the seventh inning, and he's been pretty good in that spot as well. So I just reeled off five relievers that in their spots have been really good for the majority of the season right now. It's not one, it's not two, it's five relievers. So it's a bullpen that's really fortified themselves. And yeah, could they use some more depth? Of course. But I think that they surpassed expectations from the beginning of the season. I think they've been really good over the last 2 weeks, and I do think that it's going to continue.
We start off talking about the Reese McGuire story, which is pretty cool, but how cool is that Drew Pomeranz story, man? Hasn't pitched in the majors since 2021, now up to 13 straight scoreless innings for the Cubs.
Yeah, it's awesome to watch. I mean, Drew, remember, he was a guy that a decade ago, a 17-game winner as a starter. I remember him. I was working with the Oakland Athletics as a media relations and broadcasting intern in 2014, so 11 years ago, and he was there then. I mean, he was one of their young stud starting pitchers, you know, for a team that won a lot of games in the first half. And 11 years later, I mean, he is not only a bullpen guy and a guy who factors into, you know, a lot of the things that the Cubs are doing, he's a high leverage reliever. I mean, 3.5 weeks ago, he was with AAA Tacoma for Seattle, but the Cubs identified that was somebody they liked, and they identified correctly. And this is something that the Cubs have done over the last couple of years.
Yep.
They did it with Tyson Miller last year. They trade Jake Slaughter for Tyson Miller. Tyson was the second best reliever for the Cubs last year. They did it with Mark Leiter Jr. I mean, this is something that, yes, of course, like, you're a little bit shocked. They did it with Brad Keller as well. They have a track record for this, identifying guys that other teams don't necessarily value. They find that value. They get them into the big leagues, and they pitch really well. So you have to credit the Cubs, their player development department, and their pitching department for doing this, what, four separate occasions in 4 years.
Alex, I've really enjoyed your work on the call for Cubs baseball here over the last couple of years, but maybe my favorite thing you've done was your little tour of the Taste of Cincinnati that you did during this road trip out there in Cincinnati. And you really committed to the bit, and I was 100% there for it. What was the best thing you tried at the Taste of Cincinnati, Alex Cohn?
And I mean, like, I know the cream puff pastry had more of it ended on my face than it did in my mouth and on the ground, but yeah, I mean, like, I'm all the way in on that. I mean, I really like the donuts with the French toast donuts with the maple drizzle. I mean, anything that is unhealthy, I like. I mean, that's just pretty much my diet at
we
this
share
point.
That in common,
36. So yeah, you know, exactly. So I would go with the donuts, and then the mac and cheese are probably my two favorites.
I've done a lot of food content in my broadcasting career, Alex, because I share that same passion for unhealthy things with you. Can I make one suggestion for something you might try in the future, should you find yourself at something like the Taste of Cincinnati?
Absolutely.
I've been to a lot of state fairs in my time broadcasting, and everyone I've been to, I get blindfolded, and one of my co-hosts will stick a fried food item in my mouth, and I have to guess what it is. I'm batting about 800 on doing this.
Good.
Yeah,
put you in the Food Hall of Fame right there. That's pretty impressive.
So if you have confidence in your palate and you want to test it, maybe try that the next time you find yourself out at a Taste of Cincinnati-like event. But even if you don't do that, great, great content of you touring the Taste of Cincinnati, my man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't have confidence in much. It's my voice and my palate are the two things that I do. So you're right in my wheelhouse there.
And you're doing a hell of a job with it. On the call, Cubs play-by-play announcer for the Marquee Sports Network, Alex Cohn, my guest for the last few minutes on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Alex, really appreciate the time and the insight. Keep up the great work, my man.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
There's Alex Cohn joining me again on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. If you want to see it, go to at Watch Marquee, and you can see him try all the delicious offerings at the Taste of Cincinnati. He tried a Chicago-style hot dog out there. They had a Chicago dog truck. I don't know about you, Tyler. Every time I'm not in Chicago and someone is trying to sell me a Chicago dog, I've had some good ones, but I'm always skeptical.
It's an imposter.
Every single time I'm skeptical. I'm like, do they remember the celery salt? Are they getting this? Because that's one of the things that people will miss. It's like, are you throwing real sport peppers on there? Or are you just like, is it just like a banana pepper or
and
something?
And there's like specific relish to it. Like, you can't see a greener relish anywhere else outside of Chicago. So if it's not like that, it's not real.
It's not real. But, I mean, hey, if you enjoyed it, you enjoyed it. We got to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll keep the Cubs talk going. There's a couple of contract extension that a lot of people are talking about. There's a third one that's sort of fallen by the wayside. What is the most important extension for the Cubs to get done? We'll talk about that right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ooh, baby. I can feel it in my veins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
What compartments do you put the All-Star talk, MVP talk in this time of year?
I don't know. They don't. That's irrelevant to what I do on a daily basis. Simple as that. I don't know. They don't really fall anywhere.
We're back. Live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's PCA and our very own Bruce Levine asking PCA how he looks at things like All-Star, MVP conversation, things of the sort. Rami Makhlouf with you here on The Score right up until 12:45. That's when Cubs pregame will hit the air. It's the Rockies and Cubs from Wrigley Field. Pregame coverage starts at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have first pitch at 1:20 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Then later this evening, tune in starting at 7 for a Cubs Instant Classic replay of their wild victory comeback on Friday, April 18th against the Diamondbacks. That's all right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Yeah, that was another crazy comeback that the Cubs made. I made this point a couple weeks ago when I was here on The Score. They've had a season's worth of news and comebacks and exciting things happen here in about 50 games. It has been a wild Cubs season when you go back and look at it. And by the way, just real quick before I get into the discussion and the question I wanted to ask you guys, and plenty of time to get you in. Alex Cohen, the Cubs Marquee Sports Network play-by-play voice who just joined me, only guest of the show today. So phone lines, text lines open to you at 312-644-6767. But in the opening segment of the show, I said Reese McGuire was only the third Cubs player in modern history to hit two home runs in his Cubs debut. People are dead set on proving that wrong or telling me I'm wrong about that. We got a million Tuffy Rhodes texts. I cleared that up. Actually, one of the texters cleared that up for you. Now I've got somebody who's telling me he was a season ticket holder back in 1994 when Jimmy Steger hit three home runs against Duncan in what he thinks was his Cubs debut. Look, man, I don't know. All right. I'm just telling you multiple reputable outlets have said that Reese McGuire was only the third Cubs player to hit two home runs in his Cubs debut in the modern era. I don't know if Jimmy Steger, or if I'm even saying his name right, actually achieved that feat in 1994 against Doc Gooden. We already told you why it wasn't Tuffy Rhodes, why he's not in that category. But whatever. Okay. Either he is or he isn't. All right.
Stop wasting your Memorial Day trying to prove me wrong on this meaningless stat. And yeah, I know I'm the one who brought it up. Why are you bringing up a meaningless stat? I thought it was cool. Okay, I thought it was fun. And now you're spending your whole Memorial Day trying to prove it wrong when it's probably not. When it probably is true. But thank you. I appreciate you listening and contributing to the show here on a Memorial Day. And Rosie and Esposito were saying earlier, I don't want to say a happy Memorial Day, a respectful and restful Memorial Day. I hope you're all enjoying it and remembering the people who give us a chance to enjoy it. And we'll leave it at that. But I did want to talk about some contract situations with the Chicago Cubs. And a couple of them have gotten a lot of ink, have gotten a lot of chatter on the score and places like it, although there is no place like Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. But a lot of chatter about two guys' contract extensions since the season has started. And that's PCA and that's Kyle Tucker. But I feel like the discussion of whether Jed Hoyer is going to get a new contract has sort of fallen by the wayside. And with the way that this season is going and the way that this lineup and this roster is looking, it becomes more and more of a concern or a thought for me every day. Because I, like you, and probably most of you out there, had some questions about Jed Hoyer coming into this season. And since Theo Epstein has left, they haven't really even sniffed around that level of success again since Jed Hoyer stepped up and took that role after his sort of mentor went and worked for Major League Baseball. I had questions. But if you step back and take a look at the big picture and where this Cubs team is now, about 3 or 4 years since Jed Hoyer took the reins, it's kind of where it's supposed to be. It's kind of where it, when you look at baseball rebuilds and how long that they take, this thing, if this is real, and that's where I started off the show talking about, if this is real and they can sustain it, it's right where you want it to be. The big sell-off of the last great Cubs team when they DFA'd Schwarber and traded Bryant and Rizzo and Baez, that was 3 years ago. That was 4 years ago now. That 3.5, let's say, in 2021. Major League Baseball rebuilds, when you really tear it down to the studs and try to build it back up through prospects and some smart free agent signings, usually take about 3 to 4 years. So my question to you is, who's more important to get that contract extension right now? Is it PCA? Is it Kyle Tucker? Or is it Jed Hoyer? 312-644-6767. And I'll start with PCA, because as good as PCA is, I don't know that there is a ton of urgency from either side. If I put myself in their shoes, if I put myself in the shoes of Pete Crow Armstrong and his representatives, or I put myself in the shoes of the Chicago Cubs, I just don't know that there's a lot of urgency to get that guy locked up to a contract, or if I'm PCA, if there's a lot of urgency to sign that contract. Right now, he's under team control through 2027, and he's making, and this will go up in coming years if he can keep up this type of production, he's making $771,000 per year. That's an absolute steal for an MVP candidate center fielder. And as long as I can get that bargain and get that kind of production from the Cubs and continue the evaluation process of seeing how much of what he's done to this point is real, the longer I can take in that evaluation process and get him at a bargain basement price, the longer I'll do that, up until the point of sort of, I don't know, poisoning or tarnishing the relationship. At some point, it's going to be an issue for Pete Crow Armstrong if he keeps playing like this and earning less than $1 million.
Tell him to bring me my money.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a point where Pete Crow Armstrong is going to say just that, bring me my money. Up until then, I'm okay with this thing sort of getting slow play. And if I'm Pete Crow Armstrong and I'm exceeding expectations every day? To quote, who was it? Who's the rapper? Oh, he got into a rap battle with Drake before Kendrick Lamar did. Chicago native. Oh, who am I thinking of? Pusha T. As Pusha T once said, yesterday's price is not today's price, okay? When it comes to Pico Armstrong, and if he keeps on doing this, tomorrow's price will not be today's price. So if I'm Pico Armstrong and I feel like everything that I'm doing right now is real and legit and I can not only sustain it but build on it, go ahead and keep slow playing these contract discussions, Jed Hoyer and the Chicago Cubs, and my price is going to go up every single day. So from that standpoint, as I'm asking you, whose contract extension is more important to get done? Is it PCA, Kyle Tucker, or Jed Hoyer? PCA is the first one I cross off that list and go, no, I'm good. I'm good on waiting on that. And I'm good on waiting on that if I'm the Cubs, and I'm good on waiting on that if I'm Pete Crow Armstrong. The Kyle Tucker thing, man, they got to get that done. They need to get that done. And I know it's probably not going to happen during the season just because of how much money is out there for that guy on the free agent market. If he can get a few teams in a bidding war and looking at what Juan Soto got this year and what Shohei Ohtani got a couple of years ago, I'm more than willing I'm insistent on waiting till the off season if I'm looking to squeeze every penny I can out of a bidding war and a negotiation. But if I'm the Cubs, whatever it costs, and I know it's not my money. I know it's Tom Ricketts' money, and he's smarter with money than I am, which is why he's so much richer than I am. Okay, I understand that. But if I, from a Chicago Cubs standpoint, you have to get Kyle Tucker in a contract and in a Cubs uniform beyond 2025. I've said it since the day they made the trade, and I was happy about the trade when they made it. And I'll say it until the day he either walks or gets the extension. If you don't win a World Series or extend Kyle Tucker, you lost that trade. And you lost it in a big way. In a big, big way. You have to get that done. There's no two ways about it. If you don't extend him or win a World Series this year, then what was the point of that move? What did you even get out of that move? You affected your long-term success and sustainability with the prospects you traded in that deal, starting with Cam Smith, and you didn't get the desired return on said investment by winning a World Series this year. And if he's not around for years to come, and I'm not saying you have to win a World Series at some point, but if you have Kyle Tucker in your lineup and he's producing for you for the next, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever the length of the contract might be, then you've gotten your money's worth in terms of the return on that investment that you made in prospects and assets that you traded for a Kyle Tucker. But one way or another, you got to get that done. When it comes to Jed Hoyer, maybe more important than getting the Kyle Tucker extension done. That might be more important to keep that guy around. And again, and this, I said the same thing about Pete Crow Armstrong, and I said the same thing about this team as a whole when we started the show. If you believe that what you're seeing right now is something that's real and is something that's sustainable, and Jed Hoyer has put this together in essentially 3 years from the time of the teardown to now being in contention and being a team that looks like it's headed for October and looks like it could make some noise in the playoffs, especially if they make a move or two between now and the trade deadline. If you're sold on this, if you're convinced that this is real and sustainable, and Jed Hoyer has pulled it off in 3 years and pulled it off in 3 years sort of, and not to the extent that a lot of other teams in this league are, but to some point handcuffed or at least restricted in what he can do. Because remember, man, Theo Epstein had an open checkbook. The Yu Darvish signing, the John Lester signing, the money that you ate with the Aroldis Chapman trade, the Jason Hayward contract that they give out. He had an open checkbook when the Ricketts first came in and hired Theo Epstein. Jed Hoyer has had some restrictions. He's been a little bit held back by the rickets and the budget and this new way of doing business in the post-COVID world or whatever other reasons that they're giving for their stinginess. I'll just call it what it is. For Jed Hoyer to do what he's done really with more challenges than what Theo Epstein had to get this thing where it is in 3 years, if it's real and it's sustainable, that's a guy I want around. Maybe even more than Kyle Tucker, because if you can't keep Kyle Tucker around, Jed Hoyer might be the guy who knows best how to keep this thing going in the years to come. And I say that based on what he's done here in the last 3 years to get the Cubs to the point where they are. So in order, the most important extension to get done in my eyes, probably Jed Hoyer. Slightly ahead of Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong. I can wait as a Cubs fan. I could wait if I'm the Cubs, and I could wait if I'm Pete Crow Armstrong. That is not top of mind or front of line for me when talking about how do we keep this thing going, what the Chicago Cubs got going right now. 312-644-6767. Which extension is most important to get done? Is it PCA? Is it Kyle Tucker? Or is it Jed Hoyer? 312-644-6767. See you guys lining up. I'll get to your calls. I'll get to some of your texts right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf with you here on a Memorial Day on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I showed up a little thick in a good way.
We're back. Live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Is that about me? Alex Cohen? Who is that about? After his visit to the Taste of Cincinnati, who is that about?
I wish I could tell you.
Who showed up thick? Asking you right now, whose contract extension are you most urgent to get done if you're the Chicago Cubs right now? Is it PCA, who a lot of people have talked about, and Jed Hoyer said on these airwaves last week that they will revisit those discussions soon? Is it Kyle Tucker, who all of us have wanted the Cubs to lock down since they made the trade for him in the offseason? Or is it the guy who is tasked with getting both those guys re-signed as of today? And that's Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president of baseball operations, whose contract is also up at the end of this season. 312-644-6767. If you want to get in on the phone lines or on the text line, this one from the 904, most important extension to get done as far as rickets is concerned are his income tax extensions. That might be true. That might be true, but that is not one of the options. Let's go out to the phones and go out to Braidwood and Steve. You're on The Score. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, Rami, with all due respect, Jed Hoyer, no way. He's the one who got rid of Schwarber, DFA'd him, and got nothing for him. Zero. He's leading the league in home runs.
I understand that, and that Schwarber thing really, really sticks in my craw, and obviously of all the guys who were part of that teardown, That was obviously the worst one. He's been the most productive, and you got nothing in return for him. But find me a general manager or a president, not just of baseball operations, anybody who's running any sort of sports organization right now who doesn't have some misses on their resume and on their track record. That's a miss, no doubt about it. That's a total whiff. And by the way, somebody corrected me and said they didn't DFA him. They non-tendered him. I don't know. I don't care what the difference is between those two things. Bottom line is they got rid of him and got nothing for him. And yeah, that sticks in my craw. But Steve, when you look at where they were to where they are now in big picture and what we're looking at on the field, can you argue with the results of what he's built here in 3 years?
Not right now, but it seems like he's trying to sell everything off for this 1 year. And I guarantee you they're not bringing back Tucker. There's no way they're bringing him back. So they're putting all their chips in right now, and he's going to sell everything down on the farm, and there's going to be nothing left for the next few years.
I appreciate the call. And honestly, I'm not saying I'm okay with them trading off everything and totally blowing up the next few years, but this is a team that's in a win-now window, man. This is a team that's in a win-now window. And to me, those odds of winning should only go up for at least, I don't know, the next two or three seasons beyond this one. Because they're just starting sort of that crest of being relevant and being a contender again. And it should only get better as more prospects get to the major league level, as hopefully more money is invested in the roster. And we'll see about that with the luxury tax and everything that goes into it and the Ricketts being the ones that are signing the checks. We'll see. But the way that this thing should be sort of structured and building is that they're in year one now of a win now window, and that window should stay open and only open more for the next two or three years. And then after that, we can start talking about, well, you tweak this, you tweak that, you start looking forward to the next thing. When I on the show just before me, Rosenblum and Esposito were talking about, would you trade Pete Crow Armstrong for a Paul Skeens? And no, I probably wouldn't do that just because PCA is up here right now performing at an MVP level and he's an everyday player. But if the Pirates came to me and wanted to start some sort of negotiation for Paul Skeens and it started around, I don't know, Matt Shaw and Cade Horton, we can talk about that because Paul Skeens is going to help you win baseball games more, I think, over the next two or three years than those two guys and whoever else might get wrapped up in that package. I think he's going to come here and help you win more in this win now window than those guys will. And when I'm in a win now window, I'm willing to mortgage some of the future. I was actually talking about this with the Tylers, Buterbaugh and Ferengel, who produced the show just before me as we were waiting to go on the air. And I went back to the Gleyber Torres trade. Who he's come back down to earth, but when he first came up for the Yankees, he was lighting the world on fire and was like the hottest prospect to come up to Major League Baseball at the time. And a lot of Cubs fans are going, man, it would be nice to have that guy. Yeah, but we won a World Series. We won a World Series. Take those years from Gleyber Torres and whatever else he gives you if it means you win a World Series. And I'll say the same thing about trading prospects right now for Paul Skeens. I'm willing to invest some of the future. Here's a text from the 630. Extend Tucker. If Hoyer gets that done, you extend Hoyer. PCA, you have time. And that's a really good point because I said you lose that trade if you don't win a World Series or keep that guy in a Cubs uniform beyond this season. So losing a Kyle Tucker after everything that you invested in him this year is a major strike against a Jed Hoyer. So maybe that is a good point to make. Let's get in one more before the break, and then want to talk some Bears and Caleb Williams with them. Let's go out to Evanston and Kemp. You're on the Score. What's up, Kemp?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
First of all, the Schwarber deal, if I'm not mistaken, he was released in 2019, right?
I think it was it 20? I thought it was 2021 with the rest of the sell-off for 2020, but I could be wrong. Go ahead.
Check that. I think he was let go before the pandemic.
You might be right.
the key there is that was Epstein. That was not Hoyer.
Right.
Second, you extend Tucker. That's where your focus has got to be. Third, in terms of PCA, he's got to want to dance. And I don't know that he's going to want to necessarily take an extension, given that he's going to get paid in his arbitration years pretty well. He seems to have a lot of confidence in his own ability. And I would doubt that he's going to be really anxious about extending, knowing that he's got a pretty good deal potentially coming in 2029, I think it would be, or 2028. So anyway, that's my thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah, and it was something he really wanted earlier in the season. A lot of people thought that was what was behind the slow start for PCA, that these contract negotiations were going on and they weren't getting anything done. But obviously, since then, he's figured some things out with the contract negotiations in the rear view. And if I'm him, especially if it was something that affected me to that degree when the season started, I'm more than okay with holding off on any contract talks with the Cubs until at least the offseason. I looked it up, and I think I saw Tyler scramble to the computer when the caller said it. And was probably about to jump in with the same thing I'm about to say, right, Tyler? It was 2020, so we were both correct. Wrong. It was right. I said 2021. The caller said 2019. It was split the difference. It was in 2020.
It was a foggy year.
Yeah, all of that was. Dude, I was fuming. I remember being in my car and listening to Parkins and Spiegel that day that they non-tendered him or DFA'd him or whatever the technical term is. Plenty of people have corrected me on that. What is with people correcting me today? And it happens all the time, but it's...
They already started day drinking. They're just having...
That's true. It's happening.
Fun.
It's happening a lot today, which maybe just means I'm making a lot of mistakes. I don't know. But I remember being in my car listening to Parkins and Spiegel. I'm like, you just let that guy go for nothing? The guy who 3 years ago you were telling me was Babe Ruth. Remember that? Remember Babe effing Ruth? Somebody said that about Kyle Schwarber and his plate approach. They called him Babe effing Ruth. And now you're just letting him go for nothing. You went from thinking this guy was Babe Ruth to thinking he shouldn't even be in at the major league level, essentially, is what you're saying with that move. I was fuming. Dude, and I only got more angry from there as more and more pieces were sold off. But here we are, right?
He's Babe effing Ruth.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Good pull, Tyler. Yeah. That's what somebody in the Cubs organization told Matt Spiegel about Kyle Schwarber. And 3 years later, you were like, just let that guy walk. Send him to the streets. Yeah, we got no use for that guy. That's insane. That is crazy. You didn't get anything for that guy in return. But here we are, 2025, and you can't really argue with the Jed Hoyer plan or the results that it's yielded. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, so many people talking about Caleb Williams, and not in the way that we hoped people would be talking about Caleb Williams heading into his second season. It's Rami Makhlouf right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.